This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
I think we didn't start the way we wanted to, and you know, the last, I think, say 45 minutes, 50 minutes was pretty good. But yeah, you know, we just got to make sure we start on time and just be ready for when they come.
It's like back to good old times. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's good to see him and good to see all the other Syracuse guys like Chafee and Tompkins as well. But yeah, no, it's really exciting and happy to be next to Lilleberg too.
I mean, we only had, what, 1.5 power plays? So, you know, we need to get on the power play more, hopefully. And that's when you have the puck more, then you can draw more penalties. And that's certainly part of it.
Ultimately, we can't feel good about ourselves and say our process is good, our game was good, and go back 0-2. And so, you know, there's no points in feeling okay about yourself. Did they overwhelm us? No. Did we overwhelm them? No. Was it a pretty darn even game? It was.
It was John Cooper at the end. Steven Stamkos, you heard as well. Was that Max Crozier?
Yeah. Talking Max about Crozier. The Syracuse guys.
Good old days, right? You know, it was around that time, Dave, that the Lightning kind of, I want to say,
back in January of 2024,
they turned their season around a little bit, and it coincided with the infusion of young players from Syracuse. We pointed that out on our show, that I think the Lightning were getting some life from some new blood that was coming up. And it really came in the form of their defensemen. They did provide a boost. And the veterans on that team talked about it. And that kind of got them to the trade deadline. The trade deadline, Dave, gave them some new blood. And that coincided, too, with Kucherov and Vasi playing at a very high level in points. And, you know, the rest is history. They're in the playoffs now. And, you know, maybe they're going to go to that well again tonight. We talked about it yesterday about Crozier and, you know, being in the lineup. Maybe he's not in the lineup. Who knows? But
I think he's in.
Yeah, all signs point to him going.
Yeah, I think we have more clarity now based on. So when we did yesterday's show, the team hadn't practiced yet yesterday. They don't have a skate this morning. So we won't get any definitive news in the lineup until either right before game time or actually when they hit the ice for warmups. But Perbix did take a body maintenance day yesterday. So that would at least in part explain why Crozier came up. And I didn't realize Chernak missed a little bit of time in game one. I don't really know what happened to him in game one that would have required him to miss a little time. He did not miss practice yesterday, though. I do remember Perbix taking a big hit as he was coming from behind the Lightning net. He made a play. Like, he took the hit, he made the play, and he did miss a shift or two. But he finished the game, and as I said yesterday, I think he played over 15 minutes. So whatever happened to him didn't really affect his overall ice time, but he might have been affected a little bit. And as a result, he didn't practice yesterday. Whether he plays tonight or not, count me very surprised if Crozier is not in the lineup tonight. I think he's playing. Even if it's kind of a, we're not sure about Perbix, he's got something going on, he had to miss practice. I think Crozier's in, but we'll get more definitive lineup news either from Coop when he talks to the media when the team gets to the arena just before game time, or when we see the lineup for game two.
Well, it does look like Ryan Lomberg will not be in the lineup tonight, according to Coach Maurice. And that was relayed via the Panthers X feed today. So
yeah, he's under the weather.
Which, you know, look, he must be sick because that guy's a gamer.
Yeah, he is.
And, you know, he wants to do everything he can to get out there. But, you know, that also, too, is a little bit of a product of, you know, you win game one. And obviously you want to win game two, but if he's really that bad, you know, you hold him out until, you know, a couple of more days of rest and then get him going for game three. Sometimes that's usually how it plays out that way. But I'm curious, as we get ready for game two tonight, starting at 7:30, which means the pregame will be at 7 at Bolts Radio on X. If you want to get involved in the conversation, what kind of game are we expecting to see from the Lightning tonight? Crozier, we think, would be in. And what type of game are we going to see from the Panthers as well? You know, being up 1-0, have an opportunity to take control of the series in many ways And I think you do go down 2-0 partner to a team like the Panthers. I think that's a tall task.
Yeah.
To come
against,
back.
Against anybody.
Anybody. Against yeah. anything, but especially
you're,
them.
You're looking at very little margin for error.
That is
for the next five.
100%. And I think against a team like the Panthers, it makes it even a little more concerning. So sometimes we use the word must win in the regular season, and that's really not fair, because unless you need to win on the last day of the regular season to get into the playoffs, or you need to put together a decent amount of games to get back in, I don't know if there are really any must win games in the regular season. I think what you can use that terminology, Dave, in the postseason, because I think you start really playing percentages now. You know, you have to look at the team. It's a 7-game series, and I'm sure we're going to see it. I don't know if you have it off the top of your head. Teams that go down 0-2.
Well, that's what we have. That's what we have Bobby Fenton for. Lightning Rewind. Isn't that the name of it, Steve? Bobby Fenton is back. Bobby loves doing those. Like, the team that wins game one has a percentage of
65%.
Well, it's not 65%, but for winning game one. And then he usually has the breakdown if the home team wins game one or the road team wins game one. But teams that go up 2-0 in a series do win the majority, vast majority of those series. But every game is its own entity. So it's not like if you're up 2-0, you know, you automatically can put it on cruise control and get the last two wins. You still have to win two more. And each game is its own battle. To that end, we had last night two series begin, and then we had two series that were already 1-0. And look, Toronto showed a lot last night. Caught a little bit of that game, but they hadn't beaten Boston all year. They hadn't even had a lead on Boston all year, and they fell behind twice, 1-0 and 2-1. Both times they rallied, and their big guy came through. Auston Matthews got the winning goal in the third period and had 3 points. He was in on all of their goals. Samsonov gave them a really good performance in net. So they pushed back. And that's what you often see. You don't always see it, but you often see it from the team that loses game one. There is pushback in game two. Now, in the other game that was a game two, I don't know if you saw me text you, Greg, when that game was in the third period. Carolina was still down at that point, but the Islanders went up 3-0. So you might say, well, the Islanders pushed back. I kind of have a hard time saying the Islanders pushed back. I mean, they did push back from the standpoint they got a lead, but they got so badly outpossessed in that game. I mean, Carolina's game plan is to dominate possession. I'm not sure I've ever seen a box score that looked like this one from Carolina Islanders game two.
39-12 shots.
Those were the shots. Did you see the attempts, though? 110-28 were the shot attempts. So look, the Islanders deserve credit. They blocked almost 40 shots. But
yeah,
I mean, against Carolina, it's just, you're just hanging on, right? Like, if you don't have the puck at all and you're allowing them to dictate the terms of the game, eventually you're going to give up a goal. And what happened to the Islanders was, they gave up one in the second, so it became 3-1. They gave up another one just past the halfway point of the third. It's 3-2. Carolina scores the sixth attacker goal to get the game tied. And actually what happened was, this part I was watching, the Islanders scored right after Seth Jarvis made it 3-2. They scored in the next shift, but it was a correct ruling. It was a high stick on the goal from Kyle McClain. He got his stick pretty far up to deflect a shot in. So Islanders are thinking, hey, it's 4-2. No, it's still 3-2. And that didn't even count as a shot attempt because, or a shot on net, because it got wiped out due to the high stick. And what happened was, Aho scores the sixth attacker goal with a little over 2 minutes left to get the game tied. And right after center ice faceoff, I mean, this is Carolina Hurricanes hockey. They get the puck in deep. Jordan Martineau comes charging in the forecheck, checks the guy, erases him, takes the puck, and scores on a wraparound, where Varlamov is a little slow recognizing where the puck is, but Martinuk tries a wraparound. It hits Varlamov's skate and goes in the net. So the Canes went from 3-2 down to 4-3 up in a span of 9 seconds. And then they scored an extra... They scored an extra attacker goal, but when the Islanders pulled their goalie for an extra attacker, Gensel scored into the open net. And that was all game.
The Islanders right are done. Islanders
I mean, when you lose a game like that...
You got to win that game.
You got to win that game.
You got to win that game.
That is going to be a hard one for them to bounce back from. But they did go up 3-0 in game two. So, like, you can say that they had a response. They just didn't have a very good game, I think. And that can happen to you against Carolina. By the way, there was a lot of frustration on the part of the Islanders at the end of the game. So, Gensel scored the empty netter. It wasn't like Ridly Gregg for Ottawa. He didn't wind up and blast it in the net, but he put some mustard on it. Like, he skated in and he wristed it. But I mean, he could have just tapped it in. He kind of snapped it in the net.
That's years of frustration playing for Pittsburgh and the Islanders beating
maybe it was a Brock Nelson was trailing him. He didn't like it at all. Yeah. He kind of like shoved him, and then there was a scuffle after that. So there were a lot of penalty minutes in the final minute or whatever of that game. But my overall point is that generally when one team loses the first game, there is some kind of a response in the second game. And that's what we hope to see from the Lightning tonight.
So I think that's all fair. I also want to, first off, everybody who's listening to us on X Spaces.
Oh, really?
Welcome.
Nice.
Welcome. And if you have some questions, hit us up there and we will do that. We are going to be hopefully doing that a lot more these playoffs. And hopefully it's a long playoff run. One more comment, Rod Brind'Amour. How about his quotes at the end of the game? It was a special night for sure. It's one of those games we'll look back on for a long time. It's a once in a lifetime type game.
Look, 3-0 down.
I know.
And rallying to win that game in regulation.
And I mean, the way they did it.
Doesn't matter in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, a win is a win, whether it's in overtime or not. That's a look. If the Islanders come back and make this a series, they are going to get some high marks from me. That is actually walking the walk and not just talking the talk. Because you know, the talk is going to be tough loss. We need to put it behind us. To actually put a game like that behind you.
Mm-hmm.
When you had it, I mean, you had the game, you're up 3-0 halfway through the game, to be able to kind of actually push back and get results in this series is going to take a tremendous effort from the Islanders. But from the Carolina side, look, they're good enough. And to have a game like that go their way, that's going to make them puff out their chest even more. And like, I keep coming back to it, 110-28 in the attempts department. That's like mind boggling to see a stat line like that.
It is at Bolts Radio. If you want to get involved in that conversation, you can. We do have some questions coming in that came from yesterday, and we want to get to those as well.
Okay. Before we get to that,
I just want
to put a finishing bow on the two games that were late last night. So I'm not sure that Edmonton answered any questions about keeping the puck out of their net because they gave up 4 goals, but the Kings were a really good defensive team this year, and the Oilers shredded them. They shredded them. Remember how good the Kings' penalty kill was during the regular season? We talked about that when the Lightning played them, and they used that kind of passive approach. They're going to have to go back to the drawing board because the Oilers went 3-for-4 in the power play against them in that game, and Connor McDavid had 5 assists. So, look, the Oilers hit the ground running. That was a high-scoring game, which we haven't seen a lot of those to this point in round one, but I think the Oilers are kind of laying down a marker that, like, yeah, we are ready. We are ready for a deep run. And do you find it at all ironic that the first goal scored in the Vegas-Dallas series was scored by Mark Stone? I know you have seen, and
because
I've seen
them,
you've seen them. You've enjoyed the memes about Mark Stone returning for game one of the playoffs after being on LTIR.
Tell me you don't crack up over those.
They are very funny.
Do you
like Bela Lugosi rising from the grave?
Now, let me, in all seriousness, not as is it as funny as the Chase Claypool one?
That one was really funny. I mean, yeah.
Randomly pointing for a first down.
They're running out of time. They're trying to move down the field to get the tying touchdown. And he gets a first down. He does a little strut about like, hey, I made a first down. And then we've done the clock ticking down. So we saw the meme of some guy who was like an air traffic controller dancing around the tarmac.
That's the best part.
That's going back a couple of years. Our really loyal listeners will remember that.
But they have
these Mark Stone ones from the last 2 years. They just have to keep pulling them up again, right?
Do you think there's an issue there?
Look, he legitimately, like, he had a spleen injury, right? Like, it was a legit injury. It's just the timing of it. So one of two things is happening this year. I can't speak for the other years. Either the projected time of recovery was longer than it took Stone to recover. And so it just worked out timing-wise that he was ready when the playoffs began. Or he was actually ready a little before the playoffs began, but that's one of those where Vegas can be like, Stone isn't quite ready yet. I mean, it's not like you're looking at an x-ray of a broken bone, right? I mean, you kind of have to go off of what the medical experts are saying about like range of recovery time. So look, there's more chatter now about the salary cap goes to zero in the playoffs, but maybe the lineup that you dress on a given night has to fit within a certain cap number. Now, of course, your cap number during the regular season is your full 23-man roster. And in a game, you're only dressing 20. So they have to make some sort of an adjustment. But that would prevent teams from adding players at the deadline, which Vegas did, to go well over the cap, which you can do because you have a key player on LTIR, and then that player returns for the playoffs and you are still well over the cap, but the cap doesn't matter in the playoffs. So now I'm hearing more chatter about, well, for a specific playoff game, your lineup, the lineup that you dress has to fit within a certain number. So you can have Mark Stone and you can have Tomas Hertl, who they acquired at the deadline, both of whom make a lot of money, but maybe you can't use both of them, right, in a playoff game. We'll see if there's anything that comes from that. The one thing I will say about the people who are still squawking about Kucherov missed the entire season that year. Granted, it was a shortened season, but he did miss all 56 games in the regular season. And he was within the range of recovery when the playoffs began. For Stone, it's been more that he's played, he's gotten hurt, he's missed time conveniently before the deadline. Vegas adds at the deadline, and then the 1 year Vegas missed the playoffs, of course. But last year and then this year, you know, Stone returns for game one, and probably for the conspiracy theorists around the NHL, it was just an added insult that Stone scores the first goal of that game, not even like 90 seconds into the game, he scores. But that was a road win for Vegas. They were the one team to win a game one as a road team. That's going to be a tough matchup for Dallas. Vegas is obviously a good team, defending champs. They've gotten through the regular season. They made the playoffs. Now they're thinking repeat. That's what Vegas is thinking.
Yeah. Does it pass the eye test?
Or the smell test, maybe.
The smell test. All right, let me kind of circle back.
Yeah, sorry. We got off Lightning Panthers. We can go to questions or talk about game two, whatever you want.
Let's just kind of go. Anthony says, wasn't a bad game overall, game one, but we were too slow with decisions in the D zone and giving up the puck too fast in the O zone. Defensemen looking at the puck instead of players in front like always. Why do we need to tolerate Wes' awful officiating? Well, I don't know. You don't have to tolerate it, but you hope that, you know, maybe you get another official or, you know,
Yeah, and there are different officials tonight. Yeah. I can actually look it up and see.
He also said Paul's hold was stupid, but if you're not calling anything on Cats, be consistent. I don't understand what took them so long to switch to Claire. He was the last to every puck. Cooch had five hits, and you have one. Hagel made more plays in two shifts. So there he's critiquing Duclair a little bit, I think.
Yeah. So how they ran the lines in practice yesterday, Duclair was back with Point and Kucherov. The fan is right that they made the switch near the end of the game. I think they like Cirelli and Hagel together. And it's kind of on the guys on the top line to change the narrative. By the way, Chris Lee and Frederick Lacue are the refs tonight. So it's two different guys.
Gotcha.
Than what we saw in game one. So I don't know if what we saw in practice yesterday is definitely going to be what we see tonight in game two, but like the fan is complaining about Duclair. But Hagel was very effective with Cirelli and Stamkos. So I think that line did a lot of good things for the Lightning. So while I understand where the fan is coming from, I'm also looking at it from the other side of the top six, the other line, right? Like that line was a handful for the Panthers. They got matched against the Bennett line, and the Bennett line had some trouble with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure that there was another line that did more 5-on-5 on a night or in a game in which the Lightning had trouble generating 5-on-5 chances. Hagel, Cirelli, and Stamkos might have done the most. So why would you want to switch up that line?
That's fair. Dan
Kucherov, they are superstars.
Yeah.
So maybe it's on them to find a way to do more.
And
it's not easy. I mean, the Panthers were on them, but
for sure
they are Braden Point and Nikita Kucherov too.
I expect some major pushback from them tonight. I do. I expect the Lightning to find a way, and maybe I'm stating the obvious, but sometimes the obvious needs to be stated. The Lightning are going to have some pushback offensively tonight. How they go about chipping away or scoring goals, how many they score, that remains to be seen. But I don't know in a game like this, in a series like this, that you're going to be able to bottle up that offense all that often in this series. And I anticipate a heavy pushback tonight from Lightning. Dan said basically the same thing. Duclair had an uninspired play. Again, I would look for him to be better tonight just because I think the team overall, you know, they weren't satisfied with what happened. I mean, there were some good things they did, but I think collectively they feel like more was on the table for them to provide. And we'll see if it plays out that way tonight.
It's how are you looking at the sheet of ice? From the red line back to the Tampa Bay defensive zone, the Lightning played quite well. From the red line to the Florida net, the Lightning have room to grow. But as Coop mentioned, you know, they are taking on one of the top two defensive teams in the NHL. So I think Coop even said, we can't go into a game expecting to score six, although Colorado did score six against the other top defensive team in the NHL. But what can they do? Maybe have more of a shooting mentality right off the bat. Like, not right off the bat, but like if you have a puck and a chance to shoot, rather than look to make a play. And then the other thing that we touched on yesterday is how many of their shot attempts miss the net. Try and get those pucks on net. Because when they got the puck on net twice on their 1-5-on-5 goal, they got two rebounds, and then the third shot went in.
That is true. Nikita said, I thought we looked a step behind in game one, yet still had chances to steal it. If we can just clog up that neutral zone and commit to some hard-nosed team D, I think we can create some chances for our top guys. What lineup changes do you think are going to happen for game two?
So I take exception to the step behind. I think in on the forecheck, they had some difficulty, but I give more credit to Florida. But I don't think after the first 12 minutes, the Lightning were a step behind in their own zone. I thought they D'd up really well.
You know,
yes, about lineup changes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be surprised if the forward lineup changes at all, unless somebody who's dealing with something aggravated it. But we talked about the potential change on D, and that would be Crozier coming in.
Dan also says, guys, I remember something I wanted to bring up listening to you guys a week or two ago during the Bolts' 62-win season and some of the other big winning seasons. The Bolts won a lot of games that they had no business winning. They were outplayed for big portions of games and still won. That doesn't happen much in the past 2 years, if at all. I think it was when you were talking about Cooper deserving Jack Adams. I'd have to go back and remember all of them.
So look, I think that, well, I mean, we did have the findaways a couple of years ago, right? And that's a euphemism for, yeah, maybe you got outplayed a little bit, but you found a way to win. I think all teams over the course of an 82-game regular season, if they are getting into the playoffs, have some games in which they get points when maybe they weren't at their best. I think that's the mark of a pretty good team. I think the point about the 62-win Lightning after the fact was they relied too much on Vasilevsky to bail them out. And the sloppy habits that led to Vasilevsky bailing them out were a problem area in a short playoff series. So they cleaned a lot of that up. I would have to go back and kind of look at some of the games over the last couple of years. And I mean, there have been some steals in there. There's no question. I think in the playoffs, though, you take a win however you get it. Look, had the Islanders hung on and won that game and been outshot, whatever it was, 39-12, but they don't allow the sixth attacker goal, they get that game across the finish line, I don't think they really care that they were out-attempted 4-1 or whatever it was, almost 4-1. They're like, we got the win. We got the split. So at the end of the day, it's about the result. I guess he was asking about Coop. Yeah. We've been over this. The Jack Adams is a year-by-year award based on how a team does in a specific regular season. And you got 32 coaches. So there is no question in my mind that if we were to do a Coach of the Decade award, John Cooper would win going away. He's the only coach in the NHL in the last 10 years to have been with the same team. And he's won 2 Stanley Cups. That would not even be a close vote. But when you look at regular season by regular season, the Lightning haven't always like won their division. They haven't necessarily been head and shoulders above a lot of other teams in the mix. Generally, they haven't been a team with a huge improvement because they've been good. That was the 1 year that they won 62. Probably should have won it that year based on the criteria that we have to understand going into the award. And also, it's a regular season award. The votes are cast before one game is played in the playoffs. So that is the explanation why he has not won the award yet. We'll probably reach a point, Greg, though, where he is going to win it. Like the reasons that people are giving about why they're voting for MacKinnon, or at least one of the reasons why it's his turn, right? Like we've heard that for Hart. We may start to hear that about Coop. Not this year, but at some point. Like, how is it that this guy has never won the Jack Adams? He deserves it. But I don't think too many broadcasters are putting John Cooper ahead of Rick Tocchet this year. I think Rick Tocchet's going to win it. Yeah,
probably not. Yeah, that's fair.
Coop even said, like, he talked to Tock before the playoffs began, and he referred to him as Jack. So, like, he was making a joke that Tockett's going to win the Jack Adams. That's just like Coop, though, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Hope that answered the question there. Andrew says, I've seen a fair amount of Max Crozier over the years, going back to his days at Providence College, and I've always noticed that he's tough to play against, especially in front of his own net. It wasn't necessarily an issue in game one, but could this call-up be with that in mind?
Well, now that we know that Perbix was dealing with something in missed practice yesterday, I think that that was one reason why he was called up. But he gave the Lightning really good minutes when he was with Tampa Bay this year. 13 games, played mostly with Lilleberg. They were a great pair together. And I think he's part of their future. Does that mean that they have to give him a playoff game? No, but I think that they were looking at bringing him up to play him. honestly.
Well, if they win and he plays well, he's not coming out of the lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason I'm saying that is we don't know Hayden Fleury's status, but they have Calvin DeHaan. So they have another defenseman. Like, if Nick Perbix is like, I'm 50-50, I don't think that I can go in game two, you have another defenseman. They made the choice to bring up Crozier. I think they made that choice for a reason, that he's going to play tonight. If I'm wrong, yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I think he plays, and like, I think he plays, and it's going to be his first playoff game. So they're going to have the jitters, Dave, and you have to give him a period to get into the game, and that may be true. I don't know how he's going to react, but if the regular season and how he played gives us any indication how he's going to approach this game tonight, things are going to move quicker. But I think they take that all into consideration when they put him in the lineup, that he's going to be able to handle that. I would expect he plays well.
Yeah.
And maybe Lilleberg plays well too.
Yeah.
Not that he played poorly, but again, that familiarity, those two guys together. And I think that's going to be intriguing to observe. Chris says the boys better come out with some energy tonight. They are the better team, but if they get out work, they'll lose again. Match the intensity and our skill will prevail. I think one of the few people who have come straight out and said they are the better team.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I would make that statement. But generally, I mean, read that whole tweet again, Greg, because he had some interesting...
Yeah, he says the boys better come out with some energy tonight. They are the better team, but if they get outworked, they'll lose again. Match the intensity and our skill will prevail.
So matching the intensity is going to be critical, but that's true against any opponent in the playoffs. And I think if you match the intensity, the Lightning skill can come through, but it's not guaranteed to come through based on the opponent. And I don't know if from top to bottom, the Lightning are the quote-unquote better team. Florida's got a really good team this year. But usually, like in an individual game, there are other elements that go into it. A really good team could lose. And maybe they do lose because they get outworked. Like, he's saying he wants the Lightning to outwork the Panthers. If the Panthers get outworked tonight, which I don't know that's going to happen, but if they do, then the Lightning should have the upper hand to generate more shots and scoring chances. Then it comes down to the last line of defense. How many chances is the goaltender erasing, in this case, Bobrovsky?
Do you think... I mean, I think we look at the series and say, could the Lightning win it? For sure. But if you're going toe-to-toe this year, that maybe the Panthers are a little bit deeper and have a few less question marks in their game, and maybe that gives them the edge. I don't know that's saying anything that's out of the ordinary. I mean, I've said this before. You know, not every year the Lightning are going to be the best team in the league.
Right.
You know, some years they were. And they won cups, and they went to 3 Stanley Cup finals. Sometimes, because of the cap era, it's going to prohibit teams from constantly being a slam dunk favorite game in and game out, or year in and year out.
So if I were to ask you, Greg, what has been the Lightning's biggest Achilles heel this year? The 2023-24 Tampa Bay Lightning. What was their biggest weakness? What was the softest part of their underbelly throughout the year?
So for me, I harped on it a lot, was their depth. I thought their depth overall, particularly at the forward position, was something that was lacking a bit, and they were top heavy.
But they scored a lot of goals.
But they did. And so I think when you factor that in, I mean, the other area would be just awareness, turnovers in the D zone.
Right, which leads to what I was going to say, goals against. They did finish 22nd in goals allowed.
Yes.
So I was even making it more of a broad statement than what you gave. You gave kind of specifics, but like the softest part of the Lightning's game through the regular season was they allowed too many goals. The Panthers didn't, clearly. The Panthers also scored a lot. They were great on special teams. They outshot their opponents. Like, statistically, the Panthers had a really strong regular season, and you look at their team and you say they don't seem to have an appreciably noticeable weakness. Like, whatever their soft underbelly is, it's not overly soft. What do we see in game one from the Lightning, though? High-level defensive play. That's why I kept going back to this point yesterday, which was, to me, one of the biggest keys for the Lightning in the series is not going to be what they do offensively. It's what they do defensively. Because if we were to try and handicap the difference between the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning this year, the Panthers were way better defensively. Specifically, they were way better defensively 5-on-5. But we're not talking about a full season. We're talking about a series, and we're talking about where these teams are right now, today. And the Lightning showed in game one that they can defend just as well as the Florida Panthers. If that's the case, I'll take my chances with the Lightning doing some of the other things that they're going to need to do to win the series. I'm not saying they're definitely going to win the series, but they do have the skill. And look, I think we agreed some of the additions they made at the deadline did help their depth. And they do have the number one power play in the NHL. So if they can level this one area where there is a pretty big disparity between the teams based on the regular season numbers, then it becomes a pick'em series to me. But the Lightning have to maintain it. What they showed in game one, like Coop said, it was good, but good wasn't good enough. He's right about that. But that defensive standard cannot waver. Because if it does, I think the Lightning are going to be in trouble. But I was encouraged. That's why I came out of game one feeling encouraged.
That, and some of that,
they showed that.
And some of that, too, I think, is just the playoff effect. I think teams, you do perform beyond what your regular season indicated because of how intense and important the playoffs are. And so if the Lightning were 22 in team defense, you know, what type of bump are they going to get because it's the playoffs? I know it doesn't always happen that way, but most teams do tighten things up. Even the teams who are defensively challenged will be better. Doesn't mean they're going to be good. They're going to be better. And I think the Lightning were. Nikita says also, what's the honest thought on when Sergachev will be able to return? I have a weird feeling it could be very soon. On game two, I'm expecting a classic performance by our top guys. I want to see Cooch and Point everywhere.
Well, I don't have any answer for you on Sergachev. Sorry. I mean, I know that he's skating and he shed the red no contact jersey, but I mean, I'm going to have to go with what we're hearing. And Coop basically said, not this round. I mean, in so many words, he said, not this round. If we can get past the Panthers, we'll see. Originally, we heard deep in the playoffs, so maybe he's a little ahead of the curve.
Has he been drinking his milk?
Yeah, you need the bone density, right?
Look, I think John Cooper and the Lightning aren't any different than any other team or organization when it comes to injuries. I mean, I don't know if you can believe anything. And that's
fair enough.
They're not unique in that area. I mean, this goes with every sport. And, you know, even the regular season has gotten a bit out of control, you know, with keeping things quiet and maybe not revealing totally what's going on with injuries. So I don't know. I think the fact that Sergachev is where he is a very positive sign. My guess is it's going to still take a little bit of time for him to come back beyond this round, but that's a guess, and that's just more of a guess on the severity of the injury, not necessarily me being able to get into Sergachev's head to get an idea of how he's feeling and where he is right now. Because don't forget, Dave, not only are you rehabbing and being better with the injury, now it's also game shape and also playing in this type of environment. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, it's one thing to play. It's another thing. You're going to be playing in a high risk, high anxiety moment. And look, I mean, is it fair to say, is Sergachev, when he comes in, is he playing 10 minutes a game?
Right.
Or when he comes back, is he going to go back to being the guy he is? So.
Well, as it relates to, like, would Sergachev play tonight, for example? Like, fans might be wondering, hey, he's been skating. Why don't they just put him in tonight for game two? Well, if they were going to play Sergachev, would they have called up Max Crozier? I mean, I just think connecting the dots, like, it's not imminent to me. But you're right that teams tend to be very closed off, if that's the way of putting it. They keep things close to the vest when it comes to revealing injuries.
Yeah. 100% with you on that one. Steven says, I'm just here to celebrate the fact that Max Crozier, the greatest defenseman in the history of ice hockey, is once again a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Continue with your broadcast, my friends.
Well, I don't know what the supporters of Bob Uhr or Nick Lidstrom or any of these other guys would have to say about that. Come on. Greatest defenseman in the history of ice hockey. That's quite a statement.
I tell you what, if that happens, the Lightning will be very excited about that development. But I think it's exciting for the Lightning anyways that you basically have two rookies on the back end, Dave, who are getting an opportunity to play in a really intense playoff series against arguably the best team in the East. And that's only going to help those players. You know, like we talked about with Radish and Perbix before when they were coming up through the ranks and getting that valuable time. I mean, the Lightning, you know, take a step back. They've developed a nice little pipeline of young defensemen, relatively speaking, to NHL experience. And I'm not going to say all of them are going to pan out and be top four defensemen, but the Lightning, again, it kind of goes back to how they've been able to keep this winning streak year in and year out without having top draft picks, so to speak, moving along. And they've done it by finding guys in certain areas of the draft and developing them, and they end up being pretty good pros. And we're going to see it again tonight. And I'm really anxious to see what type of boost Crozier provides. And when I say boost, it's more of don't notice him, make good plays in your zone. Are you looking for him to score? No, you're looking for him not to be noticed. And if that happens, he's probably doing his job along with Lilleberg.
Yeah. And look, the Panthers want to dominate possession. They want to play like Carolina played against the Islanders last night. Now, granted, some of that huge advantage for Carolina might have been score effects. They were down in the game, and the Islanders were basically trying to protect the lead. So maybe that fed into the possession disparity a little bit. But when the Panthers, if the Panthers could script a game, the way they would want to script the game is forecheck like crazy and spend most of the game in the offensive zone with the puck. I think the Lightning would probably like to script a game that way as well. But the Panthers have shown that they can do that. Just look at the difference between their shots for and shots against. I mean, over the course of a full season, if you are looking at a pretty big gap there, probably means that you have the puck more than your opponent. And I thought in game one, after the early minutes, the Lightning closed off plays pretty well in their own zone. So that is going to be part of it for Crozier and Lilleberg as well. They want to make good plays to get out of trouble when they have the puck. But when they don't have the puck, best they can, they want to try and close off plays. So the Panthers can't get rolling with those like 30, 35, 40-second ozone shifts where they build up momentum and build up their game. The Lightning handled that pretty well in game one, honestly. We'll see if they're able to do it tonight in game two. And Paul Maurice may say, hey, I'm the home coach. I want to have this line out against Crozier and Lilleberg because they're two rookies. What he probably knows this because teams scout each other, but he hasn't seen it live and he hasn't seen it against his team. Crozier's never played against the Panthers. The time the Crozier was up, the Lightning didn't play the Panthers. But I will say, Greg, I thought Crozier and Lilleberg handled opposition forechecking pressure really well when they were paired together. That's why you had two rookies playing together as the Lightning were winning a bunch of games in January, and they stayed together. If they were having problems with like the other team saying, hey, we got two rookies out there, let's pressure them like crazy, and they started having success, Crozier and Lilleberg wouldn't have been partners for very long. the fact that they stayed partners tells you how well they handled what the other team was throwing at them.
Agreed.
Now, the Panthers are a really dangerous offensive team, and they are a very aggressive forechecking team, and they like to cycle, and they're good at it.
That's true.
So it's going to be a challenge for them tonight, but let's see how they handle it. And I'm presuming that Crozier is in and he's playing with Lilleberg, of course. So I'm taking a couple of leaps of faith here, but that's how they ran the decor in practice yesterday. And Dumba was back on the left side playing with Chernak.
Firewolf says, I'm a Leafs fan, and if they were able to bounce back last night, then I know for a fact the Lightning will come out swinging tonight.
Well, look, that's what we want to see from the Lightning, but just because you come out swinging doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to win the second game. Lightning want to have a good show, and getting the lead would help force the Panthers to play catch-up.
Let me ask you this.
Maybe the Panthers make a few more defensive mistakes tonight, too.
I was going to ask you, what's going to, for you, when you're watching and calling a game, what's going to give you a pretty good indication early on that the Lightning are dialed in?
Well, to me, it's about red line back to their net. So I think that I want to see exactly, maybe not exactly, but much of what we saw in game one defensively. And then, look, I'm not presuming that the Lightning are going to get a lot of scoring chances tonight, because I think the Panthers have set a standard of excellence defensively and they've been able to maintain it for much of the year. But maybe they can be a little bit more efficient on some of their looks and get more shots to the net. But I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to be like, oh, wow, the Lightning are dialed in, whatever. Like, the dialed in part for me has to be from the red line, and maybe not even the red line, but just what they're doing in terms of limiting chances and trying to cut off Florida momentum best they can. And also playing their structure well, which I thought they did a pretty good job of also in game one. Like, the Panthers didn't get a ton of open looks. So if we start seeing that again in game two, like the good stuff, not seeing the opposite, then I'll be like, all right, the Lightning are poised to win this game. To me, that has to be the first building block. I understand about power plays. I understand about Cooch and Point. I understand about all that. I understand about more than 19 shots on net. I understand about more scoring chances. But if they start hemorrhaging defensively and giving the Panthers grade A after grade A after grade A, you're asking a lot of Vasilevsky. And I just think that they're going to be in for a tough road to hoe. So you ask me, what am I going to look for? That's the early return that I want to see.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think how you're handling the pressure from the Panthers when it comes to their forecheck and how you're dealing with it is going to go a long way in this game. And I think for the series, for sure. But I also think the Lightning can make the Panthers a little uncomfortable, Dave, too, with what they're doing. You know, I want to see the Panthers defend. I want to see them bogged down in their zone because the Lightning have the puck and, you know, they're blasting it away. And if they miss the net, and look, that's going to happen. I don't know if I get annoyed, as some people do, when a team misses the net as much as somebody or the statistics would indicate, because I think it's hard to get shots through.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes guys purposely misfire. You're trying to pick a corner, but how many times does a guy shoot purposely, Dave, to get that bounce off the boards? I mean, that's part of the strategy in today's NHL, because so many teams are blocking shots. And in the playoffs, that gets magnified even more.
Yeah.
So I want to see the Panthers work for it a little bit defensively, too. And faceoffs will be a big deal tonight, because if the Lightning, if you feel like the Panthers are pressuring you, the ability to just get the puck out and live to fight for another day makes a lot of sense. But that also needs to come with, you need to win your faceoffs. You don't want to ice the puck all the time. And a lot of times you'll be calling a game and say that was a needless icing by the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're in a moment tonight where they're pinned and they're just trying to get the puck out, don't do what they sometimes do and try and reverse that puck around and make an extra pass. Get it out, live to fight another day, and hopefully you can win a faceoff.
They were pretty efficient at doing that after the first 10 to 12 minutes. I thought in the first 10 to 12 minutes, the Panthers, one of the reasons why the Panthers had all kinds of possession, the Lightning got into a little bit of trouble clearing the zone. But it didn't lead to trouble in terms of chances against. I mean, yes, they gave up the goal, and then there were those two saves Vassie made without a stick. But over the span of 12 to 13 minutes or whatever it was, before the Lightning kind of leveled the ice and cleaned up their zone exits, you know, they were back on their heels. And some of that was born from decisions made in the defensive zone with the puck that weren't optimum. But they then covered those mistakes up effectively by playing their position well without the puck. I thought was key. But yes, that is really important. And I thought after the first half of the first period or whatever, plus another few minutes, for the most part, they did a good job of getting pucks out when they had a chance.
And that's what they're going to need to do tonight, potentially. And like I said, hopefully that means that the Panthers are going to have to deal with that same scenario. Ryan says, in your opinion, do you think Tanner and Mikey look a little hesitant based on what happened with Reeves and the Caps? And he has in parentheses the Jensen injury, respectively. Do you think Sam Bennett would take a fight with Tanner?
Well, I don't think anything slows down Acemont. I mean, he plays the same way no matter what. We were talking about him yesterday. I don't know. I mean, Janot looks like he's doing what he normally does. I know the hit stat is one that I don't really put a lot of credence in, but
did you see,
like, three hits the other night, according to the stat sheet?
Yeah, is he asking, like, if Bennett wants to drop the gloves?
Yeah, I don't know. Fighting in the playoffs, like, I mean, it happens. And sometimes at the end of a game, like Islanders, Canes yesterday, there was some stuff happening.
I did see that shot.
Reach.
No, I did see that shot.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't slap it in.
That was innocent. Like, I think he said something to Nelson, by the way.
He did, yeah.
And that probably would fire him up.
Crowing, but Palmieri came from across the ice.
Of course Palmieri did. That's, you know, come on.
Have words with him. Anyway, like, if it's a 2-2 game, late second period, does Sam Bennett look to start a fight with Tanner Janot? No. I would be surprised if that happens.
But
Bennett's
at the end,
tough, though. I mean, Bennett can fight.
Bennett can fight. Mikhail Sergachev knows that. Those two dropped the gloves. To answer your question, though, Ryan, do I think Sam Bennett would take a fight with Tanner? Of course he would. I think it's just when.
It has to be the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also says it would be nice to get Bennett off the ice during play. I mean, Bennett.
Well, look, Bennett's a good player, but, I mean, the Lightning had success against Bennett's line. That was the one matchup I thought that was in the Lightning's favor. And as I say that, like, Matthew Tkachuk had a couple of points and Verhaeghe had the power play goal that was the winner. But, I mean, the Panthers really limited chances, but the one line that was able to generate some chances was the Cirelli line. They were matched against Bennett's line. And that was Paul Maurice that set that matchup.
And we'll see if it develops again tonight. And again, pregame coverage is going to begin at 7 o'clock and the puck drops at 7:30. Are you solo tonight?
I am solo.
You're solo tonight. Okay.
Phil with me for games 3 and 4, of course,
Love at home.
And then I understand. I certainly hope there is going to be a fifth game.
Yeah.
Steve has told me Phil will be with me for game 5. So
wonderful. That'll be good. Anytime you can get the Hall of Famer. Get his thoughts on what's going to transpire tonight. We're going to kind of go from there. All right. We appreciate all of you who chimed in today. We're going to be doing more of these broadcasts, hopefully, on the X spaces. And
yes,
that gives us a wider audience and a lot of people who maybe can't find us on the app.
It only works if you're listening live, though.
That is correct.
I guess we can't do, well, obviously we can't do X spaces if we're pre-taping. So it's when we're live and if you're listening live. If you're listening on demand, you can send us a question, but we're off the air.
That is true.
Yes.
That is true.
Certainly. Hey, before we go, can I get a quick book update?
Please.
I'm giving a book update. So, as you know, Greg, we had the signing on the 11th. I sold out of every one of my copies. So, the very next day, I placed a bigger order from Amazon, which now I can, before I couldn't order from Amazon before the publication date. Now I can. So, I put the order in and it was processing for like over a week. I'm like, are you kidding me? Will you please send me my books? So they have now shipped. So it looks like I'm going to be getting them this week. So we have another signing event set to go before game four, which is a Saturday. I've had numerous people ask me about another signing. I understand not everyone can get out to Amalie Arena for playoff games. You don't even need a ticket because I'm doing it somewhere outside. I'm still getting those details. This will not be the last time I will have a signing event, but I am scheduling a signing event before game four. It'll be somewhere outside Amalie Arena, presumably for Thunder Alley or the Lightning. They have a lot going on out there. So they're the people that do that stuff are going to get back to me, but I at least wanted to let you know, you, Greg, and all the listeners who are wondering. There'll be more information about this, but if you're interested in getting a copy, come to the game four early, either out in the plaza. If you're planning on watching the game, going to the game, I will be there with new inventory. Also, if you have purchased the book and you want to get it signed, I will sign it for you. You don't have to buy it from me for me to sign the book. I am happy that you got the book. We'll have more information in the coming days. But I kind of just got that information yesterday that they had shipped. So I was like, well, thank goodness. So looks like they're going to arrive this week and I'll have that signing on Saturday. 5 o'clock game, by the way, for game four.
Love it.
On Saturday.
Great job. So proud of you with that book. It's been incredible. And go out and buy it. And let us know what you think, too. Love that. Partner, I will talk to you tonight.
Talk to you tonight.
A little after 7. Pre-game's going to be at 7. Puck drops at 7:30. Game 2 tonight. Lightning and Panthers, and then Mitch and I will have a recap tomorrow, taking your questions and your comments during the same time, 2-1. And look forward to that.
Hopefully a split for the Lightning coming home. But if it's 2-0, a wise man once said, I think it was Brian Engblom, who's pretty wise, you don't have a series until the road team wins a game.
I like it.
I mean, we have a series, but
that's true.
A team is not in trouble until they lose a home game, basically. So the Lightning have another chance here to win a road game, get a split. Let's see if they can get the split. But if it's 2-0, going to hear a lot of odds stacked against them, but they play them one at a time.
Yep.
Lightning will have another opportunity to get in the win column on Thursday when they come home for game 3. But hopefully we're looking at a 1-1 series after tonight.
We'll talk tonight. We thank you guys for listening. We always appreciate you. We've been listening to all this great coverage and breaking it all down right here on Power Lunch on Lightning Radio.